Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello and welcome to Season 4 of the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
This podcast is all about elite distance running in the UK.
We're here to give you all the latest news updates around the sport,
as well as weekly interviews with athletes and coaches.
Stay up to date by following us on Instagram and X at Sunday Podcast.
And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel too, where we post athlete workout videos, shoe reviews and more.
Thanks for listening, and as always, we hope you enjoy the episode.
Okay, welcome back, guys. Another bonus set coming for you now. Matt and I have just watched the sprint hurdles, four hurdles, and a men's 200. Obviously, Lars got beat, but turns out he's got COVID, so bit of a new story there. But of course, we'll be getting into the distance action. And mate, let's start with that steeplechase from last night, because we had all the drama. I don't want to say it, mate, because I've got a few bad predictions this champs. But as I said, El Bakkali, when it comes to championship, he turns up, doesn't he?
Mate, you say he turns up. He definitely does. But obviously, Germa in that hurdle, the massive talking point. I mean, turns out he's okay, mate. Surely he's done something horrific to that knee, though, which has absolutely smacked it. Mate, you look at the slow-mo of it. The hurdle, he actually lifts the hurdle off the ground a bit. Like, that's how hard he's hit it. And it's not like he's flipping an 80-kilo bloke either. He's probably like 60 kilos, man. Like, it's just, that was just, I just shouted out loud. I'm sure so many people did as well. Like, at the TV, when you're watching, you just scream like mad when it happened. But, yeah, I don't know what you made of it, man. But his acceleration down the back straight was just frantic, and it was frightening. And I just thought, as soon as I saw him go like into that hurdle as well, like, I was like, he's won this race if he could have obviously got over that hurdle, which he didn't. So this is all part of the race. I think the biggest thing for me watching it as well, like, we'll get into the nitty-gritty, but this whole steeplechase mile that the World Athletics want to try out, and they're going to be trying it out again in September, by the way, and I think they want to kind of maybe and talks of it, I think is very, very risky. When you look at what happened in the steeple yesterday, and you look at the speed they're running, and we could see a lot more of that in a steeplechase mile. Like, we rarely see, to be fair, like, at major champs, we often see people hit a barrier, right, or four or something like that, but it's not quite as dangerous as what we saw Germa do because of the speeds they're going at. And in a steeple mile, like, will they be closing in 57, 58 last lap? You bet your life on it, if it's even remotely kind of tactical. So, yeah, I just think the danger is just, the risk of the event just goes way up. And I guess there are some dangerous events out there, like pole was pretty dangerous, but I think there's a lot of dangers like out of your control as well. Because luckily no one else kind of got tanked.
Yeah, there's so many moving parts. Like, we even see in mile races in general, are sometimes dangerous simply because they start on the curve versus the 1500, right? And that's without throwing in these barriers. And yeah, mate, it's an interesting one, mate. I obviously think we were expecting the Germa VL Bakkali showdown. For me, I don't think we saw enough of him to say, oh, Germa would have won that race. Because what I'd say about El Bakkali is he looked uncomfortable the whole way, but made sure
he always does, though.
But he made sure he got to the line first. Now, even more than usual, mate. He looked like he was absolutely labouring. Like, second lap in, I was like, oh, my God, the guy's fucked. But he just kind of dug in, dug deep. And you saw what it meant to him afterwards as well. Like, fantastic celebrations and stuff. So I think it's hard to know. Like, obviously, like you say, Germa, great burst of acceleration. But who knows? Would El Bakari just laboured behind that and still got him? But yeah, we think he's okay, don't we? Germa, as you said, was in hospital yesterday. I was more concerned about his head, obviously, for his running. Maybe the knee's not great, but the way his head smacked on the track, yeah. It looked like I think he was unconscious, they were saying. So he's conscious now, stable, but obviously we don't know the extent of any other damages to him.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I think, yeah, like I said, I'd seen a picture of him and he looks okay, to be honest with you. But yeah, you know, you do mention El Bakkali, and I guess we'll never know. And that's the excitement of the race. And I think this men's steeplechase was flying in a little bit under the radar at this champs. Like, you think some of the races we've had. And I just think because the big guns, like you said, we didn't know what to expect. They weren't necessarily in amazing form. Not that we knew anyway. I just think the event wasn't that hyped, but then, you know, what unfolded was just incredible. One man who we did kind of bank on, and we were rumoring, and especially, like, I thought he had a serious, serious chance of a medal. And that was Kenneth Rooks. You know, we had him down for a medal, and boy, did he deliver. He was inch perfect. You know, that tactic of his as well. Like, he's been someone who's been working on his clothes over the last, I want to say, 2-3 years even. Back in early May, he did a steeple. He got fourth or fifth, I think. He finished behind my brother and a couple of others in that race. But this was early season. He was really happy with his performance because he closed in a 59.60 last lap. And he has just been drilling it in. And this is the reality. I mean, we're seeing time and time again, if you haven't got a kick finish, you're never meddling. You're never winning a race. Like, simple as that. And I think he's realized. I think Ed Eyestone at BYU is just, he's a mastermind as well. And he knew that unless I can close the last 800 sub 2 minutes, I'm not going to feature. Like, and if you can close the last 800 sub 2 minutes, like, you, like, whatever pace it is, like, you're just going to have, like, so much in the tank and stuff. And he's been practicing that tactic for ages. He dominated the US champs with that tactic. He's been dominating races time after time. And, you know, people will say, obviously, he had an 8:15 coming into this. And, like, that, you know, technically he was outside the qualifying mark. He qualified through world ranking. But this guy was like, you just knew he was going to medal regardless of his PB, just the way he could race.
Yeah, but I think that's one thing to note there, though, is that Kenneth Rooks could be racing early season steeples, not running quick times, closing a 59 and being happy with it, whereas a British athlete doesn't have that luxury. They can't purely focus on getting themselves ready for a championship race because they've got the pressure of running that time. And I think Kenneth Rooks, great example to British athletics of athletes who can make it, not just like make final, make top eight, can go and medal by being kind of in on world ranking points, you know.
I think this is the thing, like, when we look at someone like Westy's ability to close in 5,000 meter terms, you know, not in 1500 terms, but in 5,000 terms. Like, when you look at him, the guy, you know, he would be a threat. You look at both of those 5,000 heats and the way they closed, they jogged around and they closed. If Westy had stayed on his feet, like, did we bank him to qualify for the final? I personally think he might have sneaked a spot in the final. It's very difficult to say. But, you know, a fresh leg Westy in good shape, etc. Like, I think he would have had a very, very good chance. And probably, to be brutally honest, more of a chance than a fatigued Mills. Even though Mills, you know, a fresh Mills, I think, in the 5K would have made that final. The Mills who ran the European, got that European silver, would have made the final. But look, he's fatigued. This champs, so much going on for him. Obviously, he's in the final anyway. But, you know, and then you look at Atkin and Paddy, and, like, I mean, Westy kind of schooled Paddy at the champs. And Atkin.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I don't think anyone would disagree with that in terms of Westy's ability and Not even in a slow 5K. I think that's the thing. This is a Westie who's dropped his time massively this season. This isn't the Westie of a couple of years ago where we're saying, oh, it's because they've let it go too slow. The guy can run fast as well.
Yeah. He will continue to run fast. I mean, you know, he just needs the opportunity. I'm sure he'll eye up a Boston indoors now going forward, and he'll try to like nail that standard. He knows how important it is to nail that standard. And I do think he's going to have to, this is where it gets tricky, just reevaluate his season and what he aims for. But yeah, we'll see him in Boston or something similar for sure. But mate, back to that steeple. Rooks was phenomenal. Yes, it does show that you've got to give people with slower PBs a chance. And, you know, there were a few men in there, like, you know, even Jaziri of Tunisia, you know, finishes fifth, 8.08. You know, Yanawi, 8.07, national record, also of Tunisia. Like, Jaziri's PB coming into this was nothing special. You know, I'm pretty sure he was like an 8, pretty much very similar. I want to say like an 8.12, 8.13 guy. Do you know what I mean? He's not 5 seconds off his lifetime best. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it can happen. It can happen. It can absolutely happen. We just hope it changes in the future, don't we? I think the steeple is one of those races where they're always kind of, it's not like the five where they either run so much quicker that you just can't be in it, or they run so much slower that the close is so drastic that you can't be in it. Whereas Steve was one of those races that I think because of the barriers, they are a bit of not a leveler. I think it's just super hard to kick off them. So the races are always within a kind of a certain parameter. And yeah, maybe minus your top two or people who every now and then we see a crazy race. It is always in that region. And I think, yeah, like Kenneth Rooks said, if you kind of pay close order to that, and make the race play into your own hands in terms of plenty of strengths, then you absolutely got a chance.
Yeah. And just to clarify, you know, Jaziri was another athlete. I thought I'd just double check his PB. His PB before it was 8.14.9. His season's best, by the way, 8.20. The guy goes and runs 8.08 in the final Tunisian. Like, and he runs for, you know, Under Armour Baltimore group. Like, he trains with those guys. So, you know, the improvements people can make when you get the championships right is just massive, especially when you think you're in that stadium, you're shooting for a medal, you're shooting for a higher position. Oh, it's crazy. But I thought that was one hell of a race, the men's steeple. It delivers time and time again at a championship. It's probably one of the most slept on events in track and field. Honestly, I think it is. You know, you would agree with that. But like every time I feel like it's underhyped, and then every time it just delivers one like outrageous racing.
Yeah, for me, like it goes 10K, 15, steeple, maybe. I put it above the five and above the eight.
It's so hard because I would agree with that, but then just in recent years because the five has Jakob had that storyline, and then because the eight's obviously got Patterson and the Brits, so tricky, man. So tricky. So, but mate, anyway, so that was the steeple. Last night's athletics action was really, really good. Obviously, Hudson Smith getting edged out as well. Man, like Quincy Hall doing cross country and, you know, relying on that. So, shows you how important cross country is. If a 400 runner can do it, well, maybe some of our 15 guys can start doing it.
Yeah. Fred Curley was having some beef yesterday as well, wasn't he? Do you see that?
Mate, not so. I did hear it. They're talking about it on TV, but man, I didn't see
who's the other US athlete in the final? Can't remember his name. Anyway, basically, someone posted and they were like, "When are we going to see?" And then this athlete versus Fred Curley over 400 meters, and he responded something like, "When I started running the 400, you saw Curley start doing the 100, as if Curley."
You talking about Mike Norman? Is this Mike Norman? Maybe.
I can't know who it was. It was someone, one of the Americans. And Curley just responded with their World Athletics head-to-head, and it's like 7-1 Curley. Just left it at that.
We do like that from Curley. That's why he's our favourite sprinter. But Yeah, so let's move on then, because yeah, this morning was of course the women's sorry, this evening was the women's 1500 semi-finals, and well, we had the 800 repechage this morning, but nothing really
No
to
Brits
prompt.
involved, they don't need it.
Yeah, basically, man. So we'll just move on to that women's 15, because I just think Georgie Bo looks so goddamn good, and like, I just don't know how much the others are holding back. Like, maybe I'm reading Muir wrong. Maybe I'm reading like Saint Pierre wrong and people like that. But
I thought they shut it down on the home straight, mate.
I think Georgie Bell could medal. I think Georgie Bell was shutting it down at like 200. Just Georgie Bell wasn't shutting it down. She looked to me like she was just measuring her efforts so well.
Yeah,
But I don't
I'd
know.
agree with that.
I think she looked better than Muir. I mean, Muir had to take it up and push the pace. I honestly think she looked better than Muir. So I think she's going to place ahead of Muir in the final. And if you're placing ahead of Muir in the final, chances are you're probably not far off a medal.
Well, it's what we said the other day, isn't it? I think we were kind of having the discussion about is it crazy to say Georgia Bell medals, but then we said, or I said, sorry, maybe I said this, that you wouldn't be crazy for saying Lauren Muir might medal, you know, with her
Yeah.
kind of caliber athlete she is. But then actually you're like, who's the best 1500 runner in Britain right now? It's probably Georgia Bell. So
She just
who knows?
races so smart. Like,
Yeah.
she doesn't panic. And I think Bell just backs her kick as well. And she has one. And whereas I feel like, Muir had to get things moving in that heat, because that is just the way she runs. And she's learning that, obviously, like, as she's maturing and in the event a little bit more, and I guess her physiology might be changing, whatever, I don't know. But she just looks like she doesn't have as fast as finish as these girls.
I just also
Especially,
think there's got to be a Keeley effect in this champs for Georgia Bell
yeah.
as well. You know, obviously she's been part of the group like for a while now and things like that. But I think and yeah, she would have known going into it that Keeley's a favourite. But that gold medal, but actually getting that secured for the group, Trevor and Jenny obviously must be absolutely buzzing and locking in for Georgia Bell now. So that is got to have a massive positive impact. And I also think first season back, there's still no pressure for Georgia Bell, right? If she'd gone out in those heats, yeah, we might have been like, oh, it's disappointing after she's been running this season. But I think we would have still said the fact she's made the Olympics after her time off, brilliant. So I still think there's this kind of, obviously, look, I'm sure she put some expectation on herself, but I still think in general, she's exceeded expectations all year. So anything she does is a bonus. So I just think going into it in that position is so helpful for an athlete, you know.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I just think as well, like, looking at the, I mean, that's massive, but I think she doesn't put pressure on herself, which, and it may be because she is like an underdog and on this comeback journey, and maybe next year we'll see a different Georgia Bell. We will see someone who's like putting pressure on herself and stuff like that. But yeah, she just seems so goddamn relaxed, and I think that's a danger, But take this other semi-final, for example. Like, Walter J wins at 355-1. She looked incredible, by the way. And I do think Hull was challenging her a little bit. And then Hull was just like, okay, I don't need to prove I can win this. But I think Hull was surprised how good Walter J was. So I think Walter J is definitely a threat for gold after that semi-final. I mean, anytime. So, I mean, also just 355. I mean, 12 women sub 4 minutes in the semi-final. I thought the heats were crazy, but the semi-final is even worse. Like,
Well, this
That
for me,
is a final from 2 3 years ago, when we used to see Muir get bronze and stuff, and just look at the stats.
yeah. And I was just going to say, we got to shout out Reveille Walcott-Nolan, 358.08 in the semi-final, personal best after a repechage, so third race in 3 days. Like, I think unfortunate for her that I don't know, maybe if, who knows if she hadn't had to run yesterday. Obviously, like. It's kind of you got to do your job and get through the heats, but it's a shame because obviously you might think that actually have we had fastest losers or have we had kind of more just through to the semi, for example, the way she run today, like could she squeeze a bit more out if she was fresher? I don't know, but hopefully she still comes away pleased with that because I believe that's her first sub four as well.
Yeah, first sub four, mate. I think the answer is yes. Could she have improved 1.4 seconds to qualify for the final? Quite possibly as well, by the way. She was positioning herself well, she was going with it. I was very impressed. And I think as well, what's exciting for her is like now she can just build and build and build each year. Now she's kind of got that monkey off her back with sub four and she's 358. Like she is in that kind of world-class category. But yeah, to think she finished ninth. And just there was one, two, three, four national records in that race alone. A further, I think eight women ran a personal best, or seven women ran a personal
Yeah,
best
wow.
in that race. Like it's just sickening, mate. So yeah, that second heat, very, very strong. But my original argument, I was going to say, like looking at people like Nikki Hiltz and Segai, and you know, Susan Jewell also ran 356, and Guillemot of France running 356. I just think Georgia Bell, she can run 356 and she can
I also
compete
think
for it.
some of these might be cooked as well,
I do feel like that's got to play its card. Although, time and time again, we see really good times in a championship. Now, is it the track? Is it the crowd? Or is it the fact that actually, like we talk about the heats and semis being a bit of a negative, but I do think in events like the 800, like the 1500, they're quite spaced out. Obviously, Reve has the Repsol show, not including her, but like they get to do a heat where they finish, you know, where they just kind of shake all the cobwebs off, get themselves moving. They bounce back for the semi. I think by the time the final comes, definitely some people are more fatigued than others. But for the semi, they've had like that one race to kind of get the nerves out, move the legs. And I feel like people often come into semis and they're like absolute prime. Like it's a perfect recipe to run fast.
I was going to say, if we just time trialed semi-finals, I think
Oh my God.
you would see
Yeah.
crazy times, because it's also, I'm not being funny, like for most of these athletes, it's the first time they taper properly all season.
Yeah. Yeah,
Like really, like I mean
good point.
properly, properly.
Yeah.
For a lot of them, I think just the trend these days is to train through races. Maybe not your national champs, but I guess it depends how hard your national champs is, right?
Yeah.
The Americans probably do. Brits probably do, but it depends who you are. So yeah, they're probably not fresh all season,
Also
even
just
when it
think
comes.
like I also just think like what's at stake is so important. Like making a final
Well, it's like a
in
medal at
the
that point in your career. It's like getting a medal, isn't it?
yeah.
Like on that day, in that moment, because well, you
Yeah.
can't get a medal first and foremost without making it. So
Yeah.
yeah.
And in many ways, like for those women who are basically outside the top four or five, that's their biggest race this season. Like, and in the final, it's just like they're just scrapping for whatever they could get, basically. Whereas the semi-final, they are just absolutely shit hot, and that's second semi proved it, man. So, yeah, I was pretty taken aback by the women's 1500. It really has moved on. We knew that from the regular season, but boy, oh boy, see that many winning sub four was special. But then, mate, yeah. So that's it. I guess finals coming around. I mean, does Kip Yegon win? I am not so sure. I think we could see this World Ajay or Hull challenge for the win.
Georgia Bell.
Honestly, I do think Georgia Bell might get a medal. I might even just look at the odds because that is probably a worthwhile, you know, cheeky long shot there. But they might not be very good now. She's looked so impressive in through the rounds.
The bookies don't watch these, mate. They don't watch the rounds. But yeah, mate. Oh, I
Oh
don't know. The
my
thing
God.
is, Kip Yegon
Oh.
still look great, though, mate.
Gonna say she's 50-1, but that's for the win. I was about to yeah, she did look great, I guess. Yeah, she did look great.
So
But I
it's
did think,
not, yeah. I think other people look good. I don't think Kip Yegon looked anything less than we'd expect, though. And we're backing her going in. Oh, it depends how she runs it, though, doesn't it? Because at the same time, she is capable of, like, yeah, we're talking here about how impressive this race is, but 355 and 349 is different ball games. Like, if she goes out and runs 349, that is going to destroy a lot of people if they try and go with it. Like like Jakob never ties up. We saw him tie up,
I don't think it will
but
destroy
big
that
time.
many people. I don't think it will destroy that many people only because they went out in 61 in that second heat. Like, and they looked pretty bloody good doing it as well. So I don't think it will destroy as many people as you think.
I mean, we'll see. And exciting race to look forward to. But that's pretty much it, isn't it, mate? Obviously, we'll look forward to that final in a couple of days. What have we got coming up tomorrow?
We got some crackers, mate, to be honest with you. No, sorry, I'm getting mixed up. I'm a day ahead, man. I'm thinking of Saturday. I mean, Saturday is the one for me. We wake up, we watch the marathon. That gets going at 7 a.m. in the morning. So that'll be just perfect. Saturday morning, 7 till 9, 7 till half 9, Olympic marathon. And then in the evening, we've just got like just a dream evening, basically, mate. We've got the men's 800 final, men's 5,000 final, and women's 1500 final, and you got the 4x4, so it all kicks off. So Saturday's kind of the one, but I guess tomorrow night, the women's 10K final, we're going to see Elise McColl and people like that. But that really is the only, I guess, women's 400 final. But surprisingly, the men's 800 semis are in the morning, and I don't really know how I feel about that, to be honest with you. But yeah, men's 800 semis at 10:30 tomorrow morning. So we'll see how many Brits we have in the final.
I guess it's just more recovery for them, isn't it? I think that's what they're going for.
I think, to be honest, I think it's tricky with the timetable because you've got a lot of finals you need to get through in the evening, and you've got the women's heptathlon, which is obviously coming to its climax in the evening as well. So I think it's too much going on to put some 800 semis in there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so all good. As long as we get the guys through, then that'll be good. But yeah, that's pretty much, I think, the shortest one from us today. So we won't ramble on too long.
I think tomorrow will be even shorter, to be honest. But there you go. Saturday, hey, Sunday, mate, will be the big one.
Woo! Maybe we'll wait till post marathon Saturday and chat through both of those. But yeah, so anyway, look out for us at some point during the weekend. It will either be tomorrow night late or perhaps Saturday to cover the next couple of races. But as always, thanks for listening. We'll catch you very soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.